Hello, everyone, and welcome to Thrifters Villa, a podcast for resales and entrepreneurs. I'm Daniela, and today we are bringing back a very popular episode from season one of Thrifters Villa, like 100 episodes ago, which is crazy, if not more. But today we are going to talk about sustainability and sustainable brands with my very good friend, Jill. We're going to dive into new sustainable brands that are on there in the market, their backstory. We're going to reference some of the other sustainable brands we talked about in episode. I don't remember what number, but it's in season one.
Years
I will
ago.
definitely, I don't remember what number that is. 21, maybe. I'll put it in the show notes. But we're going to get right into it. We will see you at the table. Probably should have prepared for that.
We will see you at the table.
I
Love
really
that.
should have. I think it's episode 21. I don't know. It's in the show notes, guys. But Jill is back. She is back to Thrifter's Villa. Hi.
Hey,
This is
happy
very
to be
exciting.
back.
Yeah. So Jill and I, life is busy and we're both very busy people. And we have not talked in, I mean, we talk, but we haven't like sat down and talked to each other in a while. So we have been chatting for the last hour about life.
Daniela watched me eat dinner while we
Yes.
had a Zoom chat about about life. And
Yes.
then we started talking about clothes, and I was like, wait, we should probably record this.
Yeah,
That's why
I
we're
think
here.
it's time. I think it's time to do that. So, there's lots of new listeners since you came on in season one. So before we get into kind of updating on the that episode that we talked about sustainable brands, why don't you introduce yourself to the people so they know who you are?
Perfect. My name is Jillian. I'm 34. I'm also a Rhode Islander. I actually just celebrated my 5 years on Poshmark. I think it was the 5th of April. I did not make an Instagram post. I thought about it. I thought about getting a balloon, but I did not do it. I full time, I work for a liquor distributor. I manage a brand portfolio, and then part-time I resell.
Yes. So Jill is the one who got me into reselling because people always ask, like, who's the one who got you into it? Like, yeah, I used to sell things, but like Jill was the one who got me into it. She roped me in. She was my first bins partner. We went to the bins together. We have been
That's when that
friends
you
for
found that Dior dress.
that was the trip when you didn't come with me, like the
Okay.
following time that I went. Yeah. No,
Iconic.
we found the Fry boots that time.
Yes.
You found a Fry messenger bag.
Yeah, I sold that like immediately.
Yeah.
Good times, good times.
Jill and I have been friends for, we figured it out tonight, like 15 plus years.
Yep. I
So,
met through an ex-boyfriend of mine who didn't last, but here we are. We did.
yeah, we're still friends though. Yeah, which is just crazy. Like we're actually like friends.
Sure.
So, this episode's gonna be fun. We're gonna reflect on season one's episode where we talked about specific brands and we went back and we listened to it. And we have a list of them. We want to just start off there with like, where are we at with these brands and do they still apply to reselling today? There were some like updates that we were trying and things we wanted to hit during that time in our life. This was 4 years ago, so a lot of things have changed in 4 years.
I'm calling it the hot or not list. Like, I feel like we're
Yes.
gonna go over everything that we talked about 4 years ago and be like, yes, I would still buy this. No, would not buy this anymore.
Yeah. And then we're going to go through some new brands. Some are new to us and some we have found before or heard about. So we're excited to dive right in. So, one of the first things before we go into the brands that Jill and I both talked about was that we were in the process of trying to find and buy a house, and we were using reselling as our way to get there. And success, we both made it.
Yes. So I'm actually closing in on almost 3 years of the date that I closed on my house. I bought 3 years ago, like right in 2020. I, wore a mask when I toured the house and had to beat out 500 other people just as the market was starting to get crazy. But luckily, I got in at a great time. I think Danielle, you did as well, like kind of right before everything went insane. But for me, my entire down payment was funded by reselling, which is incredibly, honestly, I'm so proud of myself for that. I think it's crazy that I was able to turn other people's trash into literally a down payment for me, because I think about it all the time. Honestly, if I hadn't bought a house when I did, and if I hadn't done it the way that I did, I don't think that I would have been in a position to buy post that timeline. And honestly, I would be paying just as much, if not more, to live in an apartment by myself at this point. Whereas now I'm able to kind of, you know, I have a space to resell. I have a reselling room. I have storage in my house specifically. That was part of what I was looking for when I was buying a house. And I think it's so important. And just like, generally, when people are like, oh, what do you do? I'm like, oh, I manage a brand portfolio and I sell clothes online, because it's like, it is a job.
And that was something that was important to both of us, right? To have that extra space to continue to run what is a business, even though it started off as something fun for us, where it's like, oh, we can just save some extra money. I mean, both of our businesses have both grown and continue to grow, even though things are really tough right now. I mean, it's
brutal. Absolutely brutal. Yep.
It's really, really hard. And I think we can both confidently say we're in very different places with our reselling business this year compared to the last few years. But it will get better. It will get better with time. But yeah, so we both checked that off our list. So it was just funny, like, listening back to that and being like, wow, I remember that. Like, we were both like, we need to save and we need to like do all this and find all these brands. And we were so hyper focused on it. Like, that was the goal.
We were going hard and we did it.
Yep. Awesome. The other thing that we talked about was focusing on quality items over quantity. And I think this rings true to a lot of people who have been in the game for as long as we have, where you start off with that quantity mindset and then some people stay there. And I think that's great if that's your business model, it works for you. But some of us decide, this isn't for us. We have the quality items. Why don't we start focusing on that? And I was saying to Jill before we started recording, if anything, her and I are even pickier and more selective on those, what we even once considered quality items, we don't consider quality items anymore.
For me, it's a lot of touch points when you pick up anything. So if you pick up four things at the store in a week, you still have to clean it, sanitize it, photograph it, list it, store it, ship it, you know, all the above. And I think what I was starting to veer towards even 4 years ago when we did that episode was kind of, you know, risk versus reward almost. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, you know, I know for a while you very specifically went through like cost of goods, like you were more concerned about paying less and like doing that kind of thing. And I was just kind of like, if you want to charge $19.99 for this dress, Savers, I'm going to pay it if it's going to make me $100 or more. So realistically, I still have, I would say, I will pick up things that I can sell for $50 to $75, but ideally I'm really looking for things that I can sell for over $100, because especially it being a part-time situation, I don't have 40 hours to dedicate to it. And if I did, I mean, honestly, who knows what I could do? And I might get there eventually, but I only have really 15 to 20 hours a week. And that's really spending like a full weekend day on that. And also sourcing 3-4 times a week after work. And for me, that time is better spent and better utilized on something that's going to net me a higher profit.
Let's talk about that, because I think we both came from the mindset at that time of like spending every free moment sourcing to find items. And I think we've both really taken a back seat to that. And it's like, when I can get there, I'll find what I can find. And I'll find other ways to acquire inventory online if I need to, but like, I'm good. Like, I can go twice a week and I'm good.
I was just out of the country for a week. I went to the thrift store maybe once the week before I left. I used to really go as often as I possibly could. You know, like I would go Tuesday through Saturday and just kind of go for an hour. Even if I could touch two stores in 25 minutes, I would just run through and see what I could grab. And I think going forward, it's really going to be more of like a 1 or 2 days a week kind of thing for me, because honestly, the stuff that I think, and I don't know how to say this really, the stuff that I'm looking for is really not the stuff that a lot of the other resellers in the area are looking for. And I may be blowing up my own spot here, having this conversation about the brands that I look for that I think are the best things to find. But, you know, after several years of doing it, it's kind of like, I'm not hyped about the Madewell jeans anymore. I'm not souped about finding an Everlane t-shirt anymore. To be honest, they're in their flop era and I'm just not looking, that's not what it is anymore. And I think that when you really dive into some of the better things that people seek out and some of the sustainable brands that people seek out that we're about to talk about in this episode, you can really do less and make more.
Absolutely.
And that's the goal.
Absolutely. And
work smarter, not harder. You know what I'm saying?
It's true. And I think we're both very similar in that way. We used to have a text chain, Jill and I, where like we would specifically say, okay, I'm going to this store at this time. I'll let you know how it is. And like we would base our decisions off of that. And like we would separate them out. Yeah. And then as time has gone on, it's kind of like, we don't really need to do that anymore because
we'd split the stores. Like I'd be like, here's the two I'm going to pop into today. And she'd be like, all right, I'm going to take these two. I'm going to do one socket and I'm going to do this one. And I'd be like, all right, well, I got these two.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like it would be like, oh, it's lit. Oh, it's not lit. Like, don't waste your time. You kind of think they're stocking. They're not stocking. Like,
I mean, it's changed. It really has. And it's funny because we both look for similar or the same things, but we both find different things all the time. And it's just because we go to the same stores. Like we both live in the same area. We go to the same stores, but we have two very different experiences, which is like, it just shows you like, yes, there's competition out there. Yes. There are times there's lots of resellers in the thrift store and it's hard to find what you want. The thrift store prices are really high, but like there is opportunity. You just have to narrow in and focus on what it is that you really want. Just like you said, I pass up Everlane almost every single time I go to the thrift store. I pass up almost every Madewell piece that I go by. Like, I don't pick up Eileen Fisher, and I haven't in years. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I mean, not even new with tags anymore.
No.
Not even new with tags, Daniela. It's really, it's really depressing. And like I said, right, so I know Eileen Fisher was something that we talked about and they were like kind of like the OG sustainable brand.
Yep.
I think that it's still popular, but also it's one of those things where for a while it was really big. It was really exciting, but then things start to show up at Nordstrom Rack and then things start to show up at TJ Maxx and then things show up at Marshall's. And then instead of being in the designer section, it ends up in like the regular section on the clearance rack. And it's like, everybody's looking at a silk t-shirt and they're like, why is this $69.99? Even though it's marked down from $268.
Right.
That doesn't really bode well for reselling. And while I can appreciate what they do for, you know, with their clothing for sustainability practices, it's also the same thing, in my opinion, that happened with Everlane, right? So Everlane used to drop one item at a time. They would have like a wait list of 30,000 people waiting for this pair of shoes that they took 3 months to drop. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, I don't know if anybody's been on that website lately, but I was looking for work pants. Number one, Everlane loves a 26-inch inseam. I'm a short girl, but my legs are long. I have no torso, and I don't want to be wearing high waters. And then you wash them, and they're cotton, and no matter what you do with them, they're going to shrink, right? So they're comfortable. Yep. They're great. They are flattering, as much as I hate to use that word. I do like Everlane pants. However, everything has gone up in price by like $30. Yep. Those pants used to be $68. Then they were $78. Now they're $98. Some of them are $118. They brought on a new creative director. I don't know if you know that, to try to pull them out of that flop era. Because it's like, how many polo dresses can you release in the year of our Lord, 2021? Like nobody wants that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just, it's crazy to see like how that's changed. That used to be my favorite brand. I used to purchase Everlane retail.
Me too.
You know,
I will not anymore. We'll get into all that too. Another thing that we talked about was size inclusivity, and that went with Girlfriend Collective, which is on our list as well of a sustainable brand that we talked about. And we really were passionately talking about how, okay, if this brand can go up to 6XL, why can't everyone else do it? And from 4 years ago to now, we've seen Lululemon now finally decide to go into, I think they go up to size 24, but not in everything, but they're getting there. Athleta has always been size inclusive. We've seen Madewell take on plus size instead of just doing, you know, size 34, size 35, 36 in the waist for a jean. They actually have a 16W, 18W, 20W. So they started to branch out like that. Everlane has not. Everlane does not do it. Reformation has done it. So we've seen a lot of brands that we talked about start to add it in. I still think there's a lot of room for improvement. The only brand or company, I shouldn't say brand, the only company that has really taken it on, I think almost 100%, would be Anthropologie.
Yeah. I would say, yeah. But also, I mean, like, there's a lot of brands that, like, you know, Universal Standard, for example, yes, like, really works off of the size of an average woman's body, right? So yep. Universal Standard small is like an 8-10. Because yep. that's the average size of a woman is 14-16, yep. right? So yep. that would then put them at a medium, yep. which is a great average, right? So medium is like mm-hmm. kind of like average size. So I think that there's a lot more that can be done. I think that a lot of these sustainable brands, like, while it's nice to see extended sizing, it's nice to see 3X, 4X, things like that, across the board, everybody can do better. Because absolutely. Listen, there's so many people who don't fall within standard sizing, and the fact that as a business, you're not willing to, or not able to, provide clothing to such a large audience blows my mind. Right. So I do know from like a production standpoint that it doesn't make sense to make clothing that's bigger and not actually fit it to the shape of a body that is right. larger, right? Because a lot of brands will just make bigger patterns of what they already sell. But a size 20 in jeans, those jeans are not going to fit or lay the same way as a size, mm-hmm. as a waist 26. And that's just, it is what it is. That's how it is. But I think that while it's nice that some of these things exist, there's still a lot of work to be done there. Mm-hmm.
Which is why a brand like Good American has done so well, because they really take into consideration the shape. Say what you want about the Kardashians, but Skims does a really good job about it too, where they take into consideration that each person at different sizes has different shapes. And when you reach that, you know, quote unquote, plus size range, the body is shaped differently. I mean, you could be really tiny up top and just have really big hips and be considered plus size because you don't fit into a standard size. So you fit into a 14, maybe you fit into a 16 because you need it in that bottom half. And Good American has really done it the best. And I think a lot of denim brands have looked to Khloe Kardashian's company and said, oh, okay, well, she's so successful. How can we do that?
They have those jeans. I haven't tried them myself, but they have those jeans that are kind of like fits a range of sizes, yes. right? So if you mm-hmm. are a person who fluctuates, like I fluctuate a lot, there are some days where I'm in one size and I have mm-hmm. the same pair of pants in a size up as well for like yep. a week that I'm bloated, or when I right. just like am not feeling well, or in the winter time or something like that, where mm-hmm. I'm maybe not as focused on other, like as far as like maybe I'm eating more because I'm right. lifting heavier in the gym or something like that. But like the fact that they have that as an option and recognize that people's bodies do fluctuate in such a way where it's like, you might need two different pairs of the same pants in two different sizes, I think is great. And I think that more companies should work off of that model, but I don't know that they will, because they do want to sell you two pairs of jeans instead of one.
Well, that's really what it comes down to.
I still think that it's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah. I think a lot of it's just consumerism, right? And it's capitalism at its best. Like, how else are they going to make their money? They need you to buy another pair.
Yep.
That's really what it comes down to. But so size exclusivity.
That's a whole other conversation.
I know. That's another podcast episode.
Yep.
But I will say in the last 4 years, inclusivity has gotten better, but there's always room for improvement when it comes to it, like you said. And then the last thing that we talked about was a brand that we're going to bring up, which is the comeback of Levi's, which I think was so funny listening back to it. Like, Levi's is making a comeback and here we are. And it's like, Levi's is just it for most people. And like,
Levi's is it. The Ribcage Straight yeah. is my favorite pair of jeans. Every pair that I have 5 pairs. Every pair that I've thrifted. Every pair. Right. I have 27 inch inseam. I have 29 inch inseam. I have dark black, wash black, dark blue, mid blue, light blue, super light blue. I love them all. Yeah. And then I think the most popular kind right now is Baggy Dad. the baggy dad, the high loose, like,
yeah. Oh, the high loose is huge.
High loose. Listen, the way that I squealed when I found a pair of Levi's high loose at the thrift store, I was like, oh damn, but he's going to fit me. Can I have them?
I know the high loose does not look good on me. I tried them on.
Not me. Nope.
They're not meant for our bodies.
Listen, I am a millennial through and through. I can do a wide leg very specifically if I am wearing like a right flare. Shoes. Yeah. No, like a wide leg. Like I want the whole leg to be wide. Like if you're going to be wide, give me some room in my thigh. You know what I mean? Like I don't need it to be like tight to the bottom and then a little lip, like a little flare boy.
I gotcha.
I can do straight leg. Love a good straight leg because it's kind of like, you know, tapered and it makes my ankles look less
ankly.
I don't know what to say about that. But you know, I don't know about you. I've pretty much removed skinny denim from the wardrobe. So like this, I would say like the skinniest pair that I have is actually a pair of vintage Levi's 550s. And they're more like a taper situation. Yeah, yeah. And they look cute with sneakers. But that's like as skinny as I'm willing to go. I need my calves to have some breathing room these days.
I don't have any like skinny skinnies. I'm not like, I don't have any millennial skinnies. I have like a, they call it a skinny, but it's like a straight tapered. It's not really a skinny. It's like that new style, like a slim boot, maybe kind of like a slim boot. It's got like that straight esque to it, but it's still skinny enough where like, if you wear a pair of flats, you're like, okay, this reminds me of when I was younger, but it's not like jeggings.
Not in such a tragic way.
Yes. Although I keep hearing that skinnies are coming back. They are. No.
Listen, I have a 22-year-old Gen Z sister. Well, she's about to be 22. And so every year for Christmas, my sisters ask me to thrift for them. This is like my favorite thing that we do, right? So every year they each make a Pinterest board with like outfit inspo, stuff that they like. They both have very different styles, but I kind of get them at this point, right? So my baby sister, my 22-year-old sister, sent me low-rise flare True Religions. She was buying them off of Poshmark and Depop herself. God. This queen was looking for like baby tees, like, and I was just like, I am triggered. Okay. And then the other sister, who's about to be 26, sent me an inspiration board full of pictures of Fran Drescher as the nanny. And like, also like Hot Topic ads from 2004. And I was like, I am also triggered by this in a different way. So it's like chunky Mary Janes, tall socks, mini skirts, tights, chains, baby vests, like looking like Aladdin, but like cute. It was just a whole lot. But like, I went through these things and I found these girls so much cool stuff. Like some of it, like literally like it was blast, but the way that they are both reacting to pants and denim in general is just so far beyond what my 34-year-old brain can imagine putting on my own body that it's shocking, truly.
They just have a different viewpoint on fashion, whatever fashion means to them. It's not what I consider fashion, but you know, I look back to when we were in high school and why? It was bad.
Yeah.
That era should not be considered a fashion era. Like that early 2000s, like that shouldn't exist.
So the thing is that, and you've probably all seen the memes, right? They're doing early 2000s, but they're not doing early 2000s. Right. You're not wearing a skinny scarf with a tank top. Yeah. You're not wearing the waist belt over a dress or over like a t-shirt dress to define your waist. Yes. And if you guys could see me with my air quotes right now, it would like blow your mind. Like they're not doing dresses over jeans. They're not doing the Misha Barton. You know what I mean?
Oh like my God, the tunic not, dresses.
Oh yeah. This is not Ashley Tisdale. You know what I mean? They're not doing it right. They're doing like the cute fun parts of it and like still being like hot.
Yeah.
That is not the experience that I had.
Exactly. That was not it. That was not it. Yeah, fashion's interesting now. That's wild. They have two totally different styles.
Yeah, so like the best thing I got, I think in my opinion, the best thing I found, my youngest sister, is I found these like low-rise brown leather theory boot cut pants, and they fit her like a glove, which nice. Is incredible. And I also found her this yellow animal print. It was like leopard. It was like yellow and black animal print, sleeveless mock neck, vintage Roberto Cavalli.
Wow. Top.
And it was so fire. It was so fire. And then yeah. the other one, right? She's like, I went like with like this like velvet mini square neck, like Rampage kind of like mini dress thought that she would love and like wear out to like the bar with her friends in Boston. Yeah. And, you know, I found her some really cool stuff as well. Like I found like, what is this? It was like,
another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What's the brand? All That Jazz?
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever,
yeah.
Like some of those dresses, like yeah. they're really like a high neck kind of skinny strap and then like a cross back with a low like scoop.
Ooh.
Yeah, like some fancy little fancy boys, because she goes out to the bar with her girls, you know, yeah. So
she's in her club era, unlike us.
I'm in my 9:30s late for me era.
Yeah, I know, we're approaching bedtime.
Here we are.
All right, so some of the brands that we talked about, we've already kind of alluded to. So the first one is Eileen Fisher. And I think we can both agree that while Eileen Fisher is a wonderful sustainable brand, they have wonderful practices in their business to create these sustainable products. They try not to have a lot of water waste. They try not to use certain chemicals. Like, they are very conscious of that. And yes, it's a wonderful lag and look brand, and women will spend lots of money on it. But when it comes to the resale market, it just has changed a lot in 4 years.
Not hot.
No, it's no, not.
I don't even pick it up new with tags.
I know. It's so sad.
It is sad. It's how so sad. The tides have changed.
I know. The next one is Everlane. And I think we've spoken quite a bit about it. It's not hot, era. Guys.
It's not hot.
No. No. If you find a piece in your size for yourself, then by all means, pick it up. But you're not going to get, honestly, $38, maybe?
Jeans are like $25 if you're lucky. I basically have... I tried to reorganize some of my denim in my inventory, and I put like a whole tote full of Everlane jeans, and I realized how many Everlane jeans I really had, and I was like, great, cool. So next time I go to a Buffalo Exchange, I'm just going to bring these up there and hope that they'll give me like $12 in credit for each one, just cover the cost, because basically between the time I started buying Everlane jeans and now, they're charging anywhere between like $6.99 to $17.99 for a pair of those jeans. So, you know, if I can break even on them to just like not have to look at them anymore and not have to have a whole tote full of things that make me angry, you know, might as well.
Yeah. Yep. I agree with you there. The next brand, we both love this brand. This is a hot brand, Kuyana. And
that's hot.
It is. And this was like new at the time 4 years ago, where, I mean, new to, I guess, the reselling market. And we had both said in the episode, like, oh my God, I can't wait for us to own one of those. I'm going to save up and buy one. Well, we have them.
Yeah. So thank God for ThredUp Partner Kits. I did a couple Kuyana kits, and I actually have three bags from them. A couple of like zip leather pouches for travel and a belt. And I love them all. I've used all of the bags. Like, one of them I have has like the insert in it for like my laptop for work. And then the one I have now is like more of like a shoulder sling, but it's still a big boy, so I can like fit my whole laptop in there. I find the quality to be amazing. Mm-hmm. I think they're made really, really nicely. I've had no issues, and it's been a couple years at least with all of them. And the one that I toted around the most, other than the pen marks on the light pink interior, because I'm a disaster.
I was going to say, Jill's the worst with handbags.
I am. I literally throw it on the floor. This is why I don't buy nice things, you know? Yeah. I mean, I do, but something I'm going to use every day, like a bag, I could never spend more than $400 of ThredUp credit on, because I'm just going to beat the crap out of it.
She does. That is a known fact about Jill. She will ruin it. Oh, yeah. I have one of the large backpack that they have, also bought that with ThredUp credits. I think it's like $348 for that backpack. It is the best backpack that I've ever bought. I've worn it when I've gone on day trips. When I went to New York City with my sister, like, it's comfortable. The material is great. The leather wears in the most beautiful way. It doesn't slouch too much.
Yeah.
It's great. It is. It's pebbled. It's soft, but it's structured. And the thing that I love about Kuyana, and I believe they still do this, I listened to a podcast maybe like 6 months ago from the creator and owner of Kuyana, and she said like their mission is to only create a certain amount, which is what sustainability is all about, in a time span, whatever it is. And then once it sells out, it sells out, and it goes on like a wait list, and you go on a waiting list. And when they make more, then you'll get an email saying, okay, we're dropping this item again. I believe they still do that, but they have expanded from when we first talked about them. They have wonderful clothing pieces, beautiful silks, cashmeres, a lot of like, it reminds me of like loungewear, but it also can be really worn to work as well. Like it's comfortable, but it still can be business casual. But they are expensive. I think that's one of the main points to it. If you ever find a Kuyana bag at the thrift store, I have not.
Absolutely buy it. I would have no qualms about that.
Oh, buy it, rehab it if you need to. But like, I have never seen it in the thrift store besides I've found like a dress before. I found pants before, like things like that. I found the clothing pieces, but I've never found a bag. But that is a brand that you should get. And I think a lot of people, when the partner kits came out, kind of did that in order to resell it. They got whatever credits that they wanted, purchased the pieces and sold it. So there's that one. Another one we talked about was Flax. I don't pick it up anymore.
I haven't bought Flax in 4 years, probably.
Yeah. I buy it for myself if it's in my size.
I'm a linen girly.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not trying to give log and look vibes. That's not the move for me. I just want to be breezy when it's 90 degrees outside. I don't want to look like anybody's grandma.
Yeah. Yeah. No coastal grandma here, even though we live on the coast. No. But their pants are great. I have two pairs of Flax pants and a Flax dress. It's like a fitted midi style sleeveless dress I like to wear in the summertime because it's linen and I can wear shorts underneath it and it's like I'm good. I'm not sweating. It's great. But like, I don't buy it to resell anymore. I have two pieces that I'm still selling. And like, I think I've sent offers of like $15 at this point. Like, someone please take this.
Yeah. So I think the next brand we talked about was Reformation, which we started chatting about actually prior to recording this episode. Yep. I was on the Reformation website today because I'm going to a horse race in Kentucky next week, which is Derby week, but I'm not going to the Derby because I'm not insane. But I was looking for a dress to wear to it because it is still kind of the same dress code. And I still have some partner kit gift card funds on there, and Reformation is awful quality. Listen, I don't know if you guys have found it thrifting. I don't know if you've purchased it retail. I have never spent money of my own other than like at the thrift store on anything from Reformation. If I paid the prices that they charge for their viscose dresses, I would be so angry. Like, everything I own from them has been through like a ThredUp partner kit or something that I've thrifted that I've decided I was going to keep for myself. The cotton t-shirts shrink. The viscose dresses shrink. They're like, yeah, dry clean it, but then you dry clean it and it shrinks. The only things that I own from Reformation that I love is I bought a wool sweater, which I've not washed, but I've worn about 20 times, if I'm going to be completely honest with you. Just like, you know, fold it back up.
I don't need to wash those things often.
I don't. But I do like that. That was purchased with a ThredUp partner kit credit. And then I also got a pair of like black leather square toe high heel boots when I was like, okay, I'm going to be trendy and get like some square toe boots. They were almost $400. I did have the credit for that, but truthfully, and they are nice quality. They really are. The sole is nice. The leather is nice. They wear in well. The creasing looks good. It looks intentional and not like crappy. Yeah. But would I have spent $400 of my own money on those? Probably not.
No.
To be completely honest with you.
There's so many other brands that you could spend $400 on to get a nice pair of leather boots.
Reformation is basic at this point. And like, while I can appreciate that a lot of it is sustainable, I think that there are better, if you're going to spend your money retail on a brand that's sustainable, there's so much better quality that you can find for the same price. They're, in my opinion, exploiting the sustainability of it and charging a lot for crap.
Yeah. And I think that, okay, you can claim to be sustainable because of your practices and how you make items, but at this point, you're looking like H&M and fast fashion to me, the way that you construct these pieces, how many you push out, and what they're trying to do. Like, it's just not the same mission. And I get it. They got big, but the price point is not warranted for what they're creating. Now, do I like to pick up Reformation dresses to resell? Yeah, because people will pay the money for it.
In a thrift store. Absolutely.
Right. But is it really worth that money that people are paying for it?
No. I feel like even resale, though, it's definitely dropped off.
It's coming down.
Like, it's coming way down. Like, you know, even, I mean, if you find a linen dress, I think that's a different story. But if any of the other viscose, knit, Reformation jeans stuff, like I say this all the time when I do post on stories, when I find some stuff in the thrift store, like, yeah, I'll pick up Reformation jeans if they're priced well. But if they're priced over $12.99 in the thrift store, I'm not going to buy them because they only retail for $98 to $118. And then they only resell for $60 to $80 if you have a popular style. If you don't, you're looking at $40-$50, which is just where Madewell sits. So what's the point? It's not special.
Right. It's not special anymore. The next one is Bowden, which we were both surprised with the last episode that they were considered sustainable.
Still are.
Yeah.
I don't buy it.
No, me neither.
No, I don't buy it. I mean, like, I think Bowden is cute. And I think some of the stuff that they do for like mini Bowden is really cute. And I think, like, you know, I have friends my age who are teachers or a couple years older than me that do like love Bowden because it's all pretty reasonably priced, cute kind of, you know, business casual kind of vibes. Occasionally I'll find like a new with tags, like Bowden top, like a long, I found this like long sleeve, green striped kind of puff sleeve thing. Cute. And I'm like a stripe girl. So I bought it for myself. You know, but like, other than that, I'm not going out of my way to pick up Bowden new label, old label. I don't know the difference between the yellow dot and the pink dot, but I'm not going to buy it either way.
Yeah. I've bought a couple that were new at Tag over the last year. Just to experiment with it. I'm like, well, it's new at Tag. It's the newer style. And it was cheap enough. I think it was like $6.99 or less. So fine. I'll experiment with it because I like to do that sometimes just for like my own knowledge to just see like, okay, is this brand becoming hot again or is it really a flop? And it just doesn't move. So all these Bowden pieces that I have, I need to get them out. not hot.
Not hot.
Girlfriend Collective, while we love its inclusivity and the brand is great, it is on its way out.
She fell off, guys. She fell off. Like, I don't listen. I'm just going to say this. I go to the gym a lot. I go to the gym like 5 or 6 days a week. I wear leggings. I have thrifted Girlfriend Collective. I have purchased Girlfriend Collective. I'll say that I do like the tops. I like the sports bras and I like the bras are good from Girlfriend Collective. The pants are just not it. They don't fit my body correctly. I don't know if it's just the material that they use. If I don't love that much compression because I am like a Lululemon, a Lion person. Yeah. I don't know really what it is, but first of all, the stuff is not wildly expensive to begin with. Right. While it's wonderful that it's sustainable, and again, they do go up, you know, extended sizes and things like that, I think there's a lot of it floating around out there. I have not thrifted a pair of Girlfriend Collective leggings in at minimum a year, if not longer. I will buy the tops. if they're under $10, because I can resell it for $40, $50, and I still think that's something that people search for. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but I like the tops for myself. So even if I find like kind of one of the crop top, like long line bras, if it's a small, medium or large, I'll buy it for myself. You know what I mean? Like, cause I just like think they're comfortable to wander around in. But I would say Girlfriend Collective, medium hot.
Maybe. Okay. Yeah, but it's heading towards like the low end of
heading
hot,
towards like heading towards like not even.
We don't even have a simmer. There's no simmer anymore.
No simmer.
Yeah, which it's is like sad to say. Like this Girlfriend actually is really sad to us when we talk about it, because it's like these things were so big 4 years ago.
Yes,
and now they're not.
I know.
Well, we have Levi's, which we've talked about, and I think. We have a Levi's episode on Thrifters Villa that you guys can reference too, but there's so much content out there on Levi's, vintage, new styles. They're sustainable. They are sustainable. As much as like they mass produce, they really do try to be conscious about their water consumption when creating the jeans.
Can you edit in a clip of Paris Hilton going, "That's hot"? Every single time.
Will I get like a trademark strike though?
I don't know.
Anyway, I'm pretty sure that's trademarked.
Levi's still hot.
Oh yeah. Hot. But I think it's on style, right? So like we mentioned, Ribcage, High Loose, the dad, the baggy dad one. They have
I don't buy like 7-Eleven. I don't buy Mile High Skinny. I don't buy 501 skinny. I'll buy 501 taper, like CT, like the custom taper ones or whatever. I'll buy certain vintage Levi's, like we've talked about, like the different tags and like 501XX, the student fit, all that kind of stuff. Hell yes.
Yeah.
But I'm not buying anything with stretch in it unless it's like 1% elastane. In one of the more popular styles.
Yeah. There's don't buy the wedgie. Buy the wedgie straight. That one is the one that sells.
Don't buy Denizen by Levi's. It's not the vibe.
Okay. We had Madewell Eco Edition denim on here. And I think Madewell is one of those brands where it's like Everlane, where it's pretty flat. It hasn't done much.
Uninspired.
Right. And while yes, they had the Eco Edition, I really don't consider them that sustainable, minus that component.
J. Crew Company, they're cranking these things out for $140 bucks a pop.
And it's like the jean really doesn't, it's not warranted. That price tag on that jean is not warranted. Can you still resell the Perfect Vintage jean for $50 to $70 bucks? Yeah, you can. It's absolutely possible.
But also, your thrift store is looking at that and going, "Oh, Madewell, people like this."
Yes,
$18.99, $16.99. I will say, I did thrift a pair of Perfect Vintage wide leg jeans, which is like a newer style. I actually went and bought myself a pair retail, probably in like the fall of last year, because I just had this crisis with pants. Like I just have, like every once in a while I go through a pants crisis. Like I'm just like, I don't know how to wear clothes anymore, you know? So like I went and I found them and I really, really liked them. And then I thrifted a pair that are still sitting in my death pile, which I do not want to talk about, but they were from 2022 and I was like willing to buy those. But other than that, if it doesn't have the soft fabric tag from like late 2021 or newer, I'm not touching it with a 10-foot pole, because it's just gonna sit in a pile.
I probably pass up 90% of Madewell that I see.
I'll buy like a Madewell dress if it's new with tags every now and again. I'll buy some of the silk pieces if they're nice, and like more substantial pieces like a blazer or a coat, I would buy, as long as it was newer, like a coat or a blazer newer than 2019, 2020, I would say. Yeah. Other than that, dead to me.
Yes. Also not sustainable.
Also not sustainable.
Minus Eco Edition, which I don't even know what that really means, but sure. The next one we have, we have Amor Vert, and I have come across this brand more frequently than I thought I would over the last 4 years, but it does not resell for what you think it's going to resell for.
Resell for anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't. Pennies. It doesn't. So, not hot.
Christy Dawn, lukewarm temperature with Christy Dawn right now. Lukewarm.
Christy Dawn for me, I think we were just discussing this actually. I think Prairie's over. Yeah. I think Prairie's coming to a halt. I will say I do own a couple Christy Dawn pieces personally. I'm wearing a Christy Dawn t-shirt right now. The only reason I own it is because of a ThredUp partner kit. May they rest in the sweetest peace. I have three of these t-shirts. They're wonderful. I did buy the last thing that I bought from them actually was a couple months ago. They came out with this collaboration. It was called like Plants Heal and things like that. And they were actually really beautiful, like embroidered sweatshirts. And that's definitely more of something that like I'm going to get wear out of versus a Prairie dress because of just like my lifestyle and like what my actual style is day in and day out. I've thrifted Christy Dawn, I think once or twice. One time I found it at like a Buffalo Exchange for like $20 and that was lit. And I sold it like immediately because that was in the height of Christy Dawn. I have a couple sweaters that I bought from Christy Dawn with ThredUp credits that I won't let go for less than what I paid for them because they're still beautifully made, yeah, but they haven't sold. So, yeah, you know,
they're definitely a slow mover.
Yeah. I mean, I think Christy Dawn is like really kind of like a niche market. There's definitely like fangirlies, but also the fangirlies buy them when it goes on sale because it never used to go on sale. But now there's like Christy's birthday sale where you get 30% off. And then there's this sale and then there's this leftover sale. And, you know, while I think that it still has a place, I think it's fallen from the arc. It's definitely on its way into a slow, it's a slower move now than it would have been.
Yeah.
If I found Christy Dawn 4 years ago in a thrift store, I would have like cried.
I know, same. And it is still very much sustainable. Their mission is what it is. I mean, they use a lot of dead stock fabrics and but they create limited pieces and I mean it is sustainable. So in that aspect, yes, it's great, but just be aware of what the market is like. Same goes with this brand, Spell. Man. Ugh, it hurts.
How the times have changed.
Yes. Yeah.
Guys, listen, I found Spell one time in a thrift store. I was so thrilled, right? I was pumped. I was like, oh, hell yeah. I sold it. It was great. They had a sale one time and I bought a couple dresses and I was like, yeah, these are going to be, you know, these are going to be great. I'm going to wear them. I wore one of them one time, the day I closed on my house, actually. Let's circle back to that. Dress. Yep. Mm-hmm. I wore that dress. I actually sold it recently. I put all of them for sale on Poshmark. Three of them are still new with tags. They have not sold. Yes, I'm charging a lot of money for them because I paid a lot of money for them, even on sale. But definitely has fallen by the wayside. I even found a pair of like some like rarer boots of theirs that I got them on the Real, I think for like $60 and I was super pumped about it. They haven't moved at all. Yeah. Maybe it's the wrong season, probably listed them too late in the year because of who I am as a person.
Jill still hates listing shoes.
I love listing shoes. I just hate sitting on the floor for 3 hours and
this is true.
Hammering through like a pile of shoes. Yeah. Again, because of who I am as a person.
Spell, it kind of like I see it as Christy Dawn. It's a very similar vibe. It's very whimsical.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It has a following, but it doesn't excite me anymore and it doesn't sell the way it once did. And honestly, if it's a basic piece and I saw in the thrift store, I probably would leave it. I probably would not pick it up unless it was a dress or shoes or belt, like something with more substance I would get, but a basic
water,
piece.
You could stick your hand in and you wouldn't burn yourself. It's lukewarm.
Yeah, lukewarm. Manduka, which you had brought up last time. Oh, no, I brought it up and I had never heard of it, but you said that you had used their yoga mats before.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're still a thing.
They are still a thing. I think that I don't know that they still do things. I haven't picked anything up. The last pair of Manduka leggings that I picked up, I think I ended up sending in a box to ThredUp when I was doing like a clean out. at the very end when they were starting to phase out the partner kits. And I was just like blowing through inventory that I'd had for three, four years. And I think they ended up in a box like that. And you know what? They gave me enough money to not buy things at Reformation. So there you go. Full circle sustainability, friends.
Yes, yes. Sometimes we are not the most sustainable people. People Tree, they're like a Free People. That's like the best way for me to describe them. I've never found People Tree, ever.
Neither. Me neither.
So I really can't give much feedback on that, but I do know they're a popular brand, but can't give you much on that. Patagonia and Columbia, we lumped those two together in the episode.
Jeez, the OGs.
I know, but I don't even pick up all Patagonia anymore.
No, okay, so like certain things I will. So like the Retro X fleece. Yes. Like, well, that's a given. I started slowing down on like the snap tees because even like I have a bin very specifically for Patagonia only. Like the thing is this, like as I've gotten older and I realize that I like to be outside and like I'm more of like an outdoorsy person and I want to go hiking and camping and things like that. Have you walked into an REI? Do you know how expensive that stuff is? It blows my mind. Like when I see people wearing like Arc'teryx and Cotopaxi out there, I'm like, holy guacamole. You are literally dripping in diamonds essentially, but like you're dripping in outdoor diamonds. Like you and your Merrells, you're kicking it, kid. Like it's so expensive. So I have this thing with Patagonia where like really substantial pieces. Yes. Am I going to buy like those, like what are they called, like the you know the liners, like the long sleeve shirts? You know what, it's like Capeline or something No, absolutely not. Am I gonna buy shorts? I'll buy baggies because people like the baggies, and like especially if it's like a rare print, I'll buy some of the pullovers, but I'm a little bit more particular with the snap tees. Like if it's an extra small, I'm probably not gonna buy it. If it's an extra small and it's bright purple and it's $14.99, I'm gonna skip it.
Yeah.
If it's like a men's medium and it's like, you know, navy blue and oatmeal colored, absolutely I'll buy that. I actually just bought one recently and it's now mine and I love it. It's so comfortable and cozy. But I think Patagonia is one of the original sustainable brands. Yes. And I think that there's something to be said for like the longevity of their products. And they really do stand behind their stuff. So personally, I love them. I thrifted a Columbia coat for myself actually this year. It was like basically brand new. I paid $25 for it. I wore it all winter long. It's so comfortable and I have no issues with it. Would I buy Columbia to resell? It would have to be something like what I thrifted for myself if I had been willing to give it up. But other than that, I won't buy like a Columbia fleece or anything like that.
No,
just not the move.
No. And I if I found a new tag Columbia down jacket, maybe if it wasn't priced at $39.99 at the thrift store, sure. But like, it's going to be priced high at our thrifts. Yeah. It just is.
Yeah.
The last one that we talked about in that episode, and then we'll get into all the new brands, which is I'm sure what you guys are waiting for. Boyish, which I have never found and Jill has found. So what's your experience?
So I found it one time. They're a really cute pair of jeans, actually. I priced them high because I was like, oh damn, I'm so excited to have found this brand. They're one size too big for me. Otherwise I would keep them because they're super cute, but they haven't sold. And you know, I was actually looking for a pair of the same jeans and a size down from the ones that I have in my possession. And really people are selling them for like $50 to $70, which is sad to me because I think, you know, at the time of our first recording, that was when the creative director, I think, of Reformation had left and then opened up Boyish. So it is still like a sustainable denim brand. I just think that it never really gained the traction that it honestly warranted, I think. I think it's a great brand and the jeans are super cute and I wish they fit me, but...
Doesn't Anthropologie carry Boyish sometimes?
I don't really.
I feel like I saw it on their rack, in the clearance rack once.
Maybe. maybe like one of those kind of one-off things.
Yeah.
They carry some weird stuff now. Like, I don't really browse it that often. Occasionally I'll stop into that local one that we have just to look in the clearance room, just to see if they have anything like,
yeah,
one of those good like one-off pieces in there or something
that someone returned.
Like, you're like, oh, you dropped a Linen Faithful, the brand 2-piece set here, and now it's $80. That's mine. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I don't really check it out.
Yeah. So that's our synopsis, I guess,
of what we talked about the last time.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I'll leave, if you want to hear the full episode, I'll leave that in the show notes. But we want to talk about some new brands you guys have probably either maybe heard of, and some that you probably haven't heard of, things that we are definitely on the lookout for, things that we have found, and that were new to us, because we are constantly learning about this. I think Jill and I are very similar, is that we like search out these brands. Like, as soon as we're like looking on the rack, if there's something that sticks out to us, the label, the construction, something, like, we immediately grab it.
Yeah.
We're researching it. We like, and then we'll share it with each other. And it's nice to have a relationship with someone like that, and to be able to share that information. So we want to share it with all of you. And this one brand that I found, that I'll start off with, that Jill knows more about than me, but it's called Laud the Label. And apparently it was called what before?
Tribe Alive.
I found it in the thrift store, new with tags, I don't know, maybe like 3 or 4 months ago. And I had no idea. I mean, when I saw the construction of the label, so it was like a nice cloth label with a pretty font on it, like, it gave me all the vibes of, okay, this is something. Like, as soon as you see that cloth stitched label, guys,
marketing to a mid-30s, early 30s, dual income, no kids, let's spend $300 on this shirt. Yes. I'm buying it.
Yes, exactly. But it reminded me of an Eileen, like the way the fabric felt, but it had a more modern spin to it. Well, the pieces ended up in my closet, so that's what I didn't
quality,
sell them.
Girl, quality.
But
nothing
to give you a little
sustainable
back,
though, than thrifting sustainable brands,
right?
Right. So that's like kind of, you're crushing it.
It is, because I paid $8.99 per top. Nice. They retail for like $300.
Yeah.
It's wild. So Laud the Label is a sustainable fashion brand based out of Los Angeles. I did a little research on them. They were founded in 2016. So they are a newer company in terms of fashion brands. It is female owned. Their aim is to create ethical, sustainable, and high quality clothing for women, which I can attest to. The pieces are definitely have that high quality feel. The construction is really nice to it. They use eco-friendly materials. They practice their production process to try to find new ways to create more sustainable production process. And they like to use fabrics like organic cotton, tencel, and linen. All three pieces that I have are linen, which I love. So I don't know too much about the backstory, but I believe they had a rebranding, right? Which then made them change.
So I found a couple pieces of Tribe Alive at my thrift store. One of them was like a zip back kind of 3/4 sleeve top, which is cute. And then the other one was like kind of like a mock neck wide kind of boxy fit thing. And I actually kept the mock neck one. I have the denim back zip kind of hanging out in my closet. I think it's going to be one of those things though that I end up kind of either redonating or just kind of like dropping somewhere, just because it's like the fact that the brand doesn't exist as Tribe Alive anymore. It's not like I'm going to list it as Laud the Label and be like, oh, this is pre-rebrand. Cause then they're going to be like, well, who cares? You know? So I just thought it was interesting because if you do Google Tribe Alive, it takes you right to the Laud the Label website. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, sorry, I just got an email.
No,
it's like,
okay.
Oh, cool. Like, you know, like that's interesting to me that they would rebrand that way. So I just thought that was interesting because it means it's just been around a lot longer than.
Right. Right. So a lot of the labels were around 2016, but Tribe Alive was before that. I don't know when exactly it came about, but they are transparent about the production process. So if you go on their website, and a lot of these sustainable companies will have that. If you go on their website, you can see their stats, you know, how they're producing things, how much water they've saved. Like they have those eco reports. I think they're mandated to post the eco reports if you are labeled as a sustainable brand with the badging. you have to report on all that stuff. So they have all that. So that was my first new to me brand. That's great if you find it for yourself. I don't know what the resale value really is like, because I think it's still fairly new in the resale market, but it does have a following. So it wouldn't surprise me that it would sell for good money.
Yeah. One of my brands was Cotn, so K-O-T-N. I've found one pair of pants one time. I did actually leave them behind. I think that they were someone's like work pants, and they were like a restaurant kind of thing. So I worked in restaurants for such a long time that I'll never forget the smell of fry later on clothing, especially cotton clothing. But Cotn is good. I mean, it's got like it's a star/good rating on Good On You, which is something that I usually check when I'm looking for sustainable brands, because it seems to me like, I don't know if you guys recognize this, but I think a lot of brands are recognizing that sustainability is almost a trend in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. So as far as like, you know, representing yourself as sustainable and actually being sustainable are two totally different things. And like I said earlier, I mentioned just greenwashing. And I think Everlane is starting to do the greenwashing, because now they're mass producing and blah, blah, blah. And I don't want to like drag a dead horse or anything like that. I don't want to do that. But, you know, they've got Cotton's got a good rating. So the labor rating is great, which I think is really important, because it's not just how your materials are affecting the planet. It's also about your water consumption, but then it's also how you treat your people and what your staff is like, right? So are you paying people a living wage? Are you getting representation of LGBTQ+, disabled, you know, people of all sorts of walks of life? And are you willing to employ all of these people? And they are. So, yeah, I mean, it kind of like minimizes textile waste. I think that it's a really cool brand to look into. It's not wildly expensive, but it's one of those things where it's definitely going to cost you more than if you were to say, go to Madewell and buy a pair of pants. But I think, again, it's one of those things that's definitely better for the planet and better for the people that work there.
When you were just mentioning Everlane, it popped into my head where we talked about this too in the first episode, where Everlane used to have that sales section where it used to tell you, if you spend, you know, if you do the 10% off this much, you know, we make this much, 20% off, we make this much, blah, blah, blah. They have totally gotten away from that. So that's just another.
It used to be like, pay what you want. Like that was what it was. It was like, pay what you want. But now it's just kind of.
It's what happens when brands go mainstream. It's what happens. The next one is a brand new to me brand. I found it a couple weeks ago, and it's actually in, this is what happens, it's in my closet because it was my size, and it's a zip up, and it's by a company called New Hue. So it's N-U-H-U, and it is a gender neutral clothing company. They are based in New York. I believe they're in Soho, and they focus on all the colors of New York. So New York is like a rainbow, right? So they have every color of the rainbow. The color that I have is, of course, neutral, because that's what I wear. I wear neutral colors. But they focus on sustainable, non-toxic items, no harmful chemicals. They really look at their water consumption, overall energy consumption, CO2 emissions. So this is a not well-known. I can't say that it's something that has a resale value. I couldn't find much of it when I did my research, when I found it in the thrift store. Like, there isn't much online, but I think it's a great company to know about, especially if you are looking for pieces for yourself. It's very basic. It's like sweats and zip ups and hoodies and like that kind of stuff. It's very New York. But I just thought it was great that their whole mission is to be gender neutral and to have all colors of the rainbow.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So that was that one.
One of my favorites, which I think that you'll probably recognize because you love it too, is A Day.
Oh, I love A Day.
So I found this brand one time. I remember like I found a dress. I found it on like the rack and I was like, oh, this fabric feels cool. Like this, it's kind of like stretchy. It's kind of like athletic. It's kind of cool. Yeah, technical. And so I picked it up and it sold like really quickly. And I found a couple pieces since then. And A Day, I think, is really interesting. I'm going to read you an excerpt from their website. It says, when sourcing fabrics, we focus on sustainable and long-lasting fabrics such as recycled, regenerated, biodegradable, and bio-based fibers, renewable fabric manufacturing, eco-friendly dyeing and finishing, and innovative performance properties. We are early adopters of more sustainably made fabrics, especially replacing virgin fibers with recycled ones at an equal or superior quality. In fact, 77% of our styles are made from recycled, regenerated, and natural materials. So the whole ethos behind this brand essentially is capsule wardrobe, kind of. You shouldn't need to replace something every season. You should buy one white shirt and be able to wear it for a while, and it shouldn't wrinkle on you or stain on you or go out of style or things like that. And I think it's also good for people who travel a lot. So I don't know, like, you know, for me, like, I've actually been doing a lot of work traveling, and sometimes I have to land and be ready to go. And the fact that, like, the clothes don't wrinkle, right? And they wash well, and I can roll it up in my suitcase, and I'm not concerned that it's going to be gross when I get to where I'm going, I think is really, really cool. They have kind of like a mid rating, but I think they're also really focused on the people. So if you kind of look into it, they employ like all sorts of different people, and they're really good, and they pay a living wage, which I think is,
it's wonderful,
you know, really important when you're charging $200 for a shirt.
Yeah. That's the other thing about a day. It is expensive. I mean, there's no way around it. So if you can find it while you're thrifting, it's great. The resale is wonderful. I have sold 4 or 5 pieces now by them. I happened to, someone donated their a day collection one time when I was at the thrift store, and there's like 3 pairs of pants, 4 shirts, and a sweater or something, or it was like a sweater type material. And it does well. But it is very technical. So when you feel it, you wouldn't necessarily think that it's anything, because it doesn't feel like it would be something. But yeah, it's a great brand. Another one that I've come across a few times is Elemente Clemente. And it is a sustainable fashion brand based out of Germany. It was founded in 2002, so it's relatively new. It is minimalistic. It is very understated. It prioritizes comfort and sustainability and ethical production practices. So when you see it, it's very lag and look. It's very oversized, like a size large could fit a 1-2X. That's just how they're designed. But they're beautiful. They're soft. The linen is very, very soft. It's, you know, some linen can be, I don't know, kind of like thick and chunky and just doesn't feel like linen. It doesn't have that feel to it. And they use eco materials, all organic, all natural materials. It's very unassuming. The label just says it's like a suede label, kind of, and it's just embroidered as Elemente Clemente on it. Resale is all over the place. It's not really a brand that I would say has a great resale value, because it is German, and I feel like some of the European brands don't transfer over to the American market. But I like it for myself.
Yeah. Cool. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, it's a nice one.
So next one that I have a bunch here, but one of my favorites is Rudy Jude. Rudy Jude is a brand created by a RISD graduate, actually. She's from Maine, but I think that they have a store in California. So they do all plant dyed, organic cotton, natural material kind of stuff. They have like a pretty decent rating on Good On You. I think it's like in the good section. I have purchased this brand retail, actually. I've purchased this brand on resale. I've never thrifted it. I think if I did, I would probably scream. I'd be super excited. But it's one of those things where, you know, they drop the utility jeans, which are the most popular thing that they have, and they'll drop them for pre-order. And then it's like, you know, 6 week shipping or something like that. And then it actually ships in 8 weeks. And like the sizing is all gender neutral, right? So like, it's like sizes 1 through size 8, and it's like, you know, waist, hip, rise kind of measurements. And so there's men's clothing and women's clothing and children's clothing as well. I really like the brand. I think it's pretty cool. I think that their imagery is really nice. I think that the vibe is really, really cool. I've had to come to terms with the fact that I just don't think the pants are built for my body type. I'm not great with 100% cotton, even though I try and try and try. Your girl needs 1% elastane to fit the booty in there. I just can't, you know, I'm just built that way. You know what I mean? But I do love everything else that I've gotten from them. They have some really nice, like, cotton tops and things like that. And I think that The branding is cute. It's just like a little tiny tag. It says Rudy Jude and it has a little smiley face on it. If you ever find the jeans, it's got a little leather patch with a smiley face on the back.
It's going to add to my list. I've never heard of
very,
it.
Very, very cute.
I'm going to do one more and then I'm going to have Jill take the rest away because she has a nice long list there. But this is a brand that Jill owns and I had never heard of it till today. And it's called Briar Studio. And it is a handmade clog inspired shoe from the West Coast lifestyle. It is founded in 2012 in San Francisco. Every pair of Briar clogs are handmade in their factory. They dedicate the simple idea and best products are made with the best materials. So they construct everything by hand. It's made with the strongest supplies you can find in America. They use European solid wood bases, but then everything else is American leather. And I'm assuming the hardware probably is from America as well. So the shoes, I want a pair. As soon as I went on the website, I was like, I want them.
They're made to order. So they do have like a ready-made section, I think. Sometimes they do things like either people cancel their orders or they like pre-make stuff for, you know, if they do like pop-ups or they have it in like an actual storefront. But I purchased my pair actually on Poshmark. I got them for basically retail because I didn't want to wait like 6 to 8 weeks or whatever it was for the handmade ones. And I was telling Daniela, actually relisted them. I never wore them because I bought them in a color called clay, which is a really beautiful kind of muted pink. And while I love them, I don't wear colors. I know this about myself. I try to branch out specifically in shoes. It's really going to be white, black, nude, sometimes red. That's as crazy as I get. I'll wear colored sneakers to the gym. That's a totally different story. Athleisure Jillian is different than everyday clothing Jillian. Same. It is just is what it is. I'll wear hot pink leggings. I don't care. But in real life, absolutely not. You're going to find me in the most minimal of colors you possibly can. So that being said, I do have them listed if anybody's a 39 and they're looking, but it's a beautiful brand. They're like nice nubuck leather. They're really well constructed. And I just think that it's just kind of a vibe, right? So a lot of these sustainable brands all kind of fit with each other. I think that a lot of the people who buy this kind of stuff have a very similar style. I would say this, I'm really honestly passionate about sustainability. I think that it's really important, but I think that as far as sustainable brands go and the style that they cater towards, I think it's more of personally my fantasy self more so than my actual self. Yeah. I often find myself buying these like prairie dresses. Like I own things from Christy Dawn and I own those kind of things. And I do end up listing them eventually because it's like, I'm going to wear a pair of black high-waisted trousers and a white button-down and loafers. And I'm going to wear that to work. And then on the weekends, I'm going to wear leggings and I'm going to wear a crop sweatshirt. And it's just like, I want to be this person. I'm not. I envy people who like look really effortless in a pair of cute clogs. It just ain't me.
Yeah. You know I know. I was just having this conversation with Matt this week and I was like, I want to be the girl that dresses up every day on the weekend and like looks put together. But when Saturday and Sunday come rolling around, I'm in leggings and a t-shirt and I call it a day.
5 p.m. I'm not.
There's no bra on anything. Forget eyebrows. It.
I'm good. I'm done. She's done. I go to the gym looking like a homeless person in Lululemon. Like, I'm just like, I don't even care. Absolutely not.
I know. But I do get what you mean. Like, we aspire to be and look a certain way, but like reality
also,
is.
Also, let me just put this out there. All the brands that we're talking about are like pretty expensive at retail. There is a cost to sustainability for sure. And I think that a lot of it, while you can say this is an investment piece and blah, 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 I think that is legitimate. Some of the things that I do own, which I'm going to go through a couple brands that I purchased retail myself, I think I purchased pieces that I really will probably keep for a really long time that are sustainably made. But otherwise, if you are interested in sustainability and looking to, you know, make your wardrobe more sustainable, the most sustainable thing that you can do is buy clothing that already exists. There's nothing more sustainable than going to the thrift store and buying a Zara piece that you might wear for 3 years and then re-donate and somebody else is going to buy it again. Because you know what? That piece of polyester already exists. And even though we're talking about brands that put all this effort into minimizing water and they treat people correctly, they're still making more and there's still already too much. So if you find yourself kind of wrapped up in, oh, you know, I need to spend $400 on this wool sweater because it's sustainably made and it's undyed, you don't. You can go find one at the thrift store that doesn't have a label in it for $7.99 that's been around for 40 years already and will probably last you another 40.
Yep.
So that's my view on that.
Well, no, it was a good little TED talk. I like it.
Yeah. Okay. So that being said, I do have a couple other brands. I don't have a ton of information about all of them, but there are things that I have found myself and things that I own. So first one I purchased retail is a brand called First Right. So it's two words. First Right is spelled R-I-T-E. I bought this, you know, wool, hand knit, undyed, beautiful fold over sweater coat that has like a little belt on it. It was incredibly expensive. It took a couple weeks to come in. I had to hop on within 3 hours of them uploading it because it had like sold out so many times and it was the last drop of the season. And I bought it and I've worn it and it's beautiful. And this is something that I probably will keep forever. Yeah. If I found that brand in the thrift store, I would absolutely pick it up. The sweater was almost $400. So
wow,
worth it. Organic Basics, another kind of like activewear, kind of loungewear brand. I found both leggings and a top from them. I have them both listed in my Poshmark closet, but I think that they actually are matching. I found them at separate times, but the top matches the leggings. I think I might end up just keeping them because it is a really cool brand. Decently expensive, about $98 for the leggings, okay. $60, $70 for the average. Top. So pretty average for like a nicer quality brand. Something that you guys probably all know about Mate the Label, in my opinion, if we had talked about it 4 years ago, would have been like on the rise. I think Mate is kind of on the drop. Actually, they started discontinuing a lot of their original styles. So the last time I hopped on the website, they were kind of selling out the skinny joggers and things like that. I think that they were just kind of moving through the styles that they had originally. I don't know if that means a rebrand is on the horizon. They do have really nice cotton. There's a couple people who I think are part of the reselling community or used to be that work with Mate now as kind of sustainable fashion influencers. And I think their stuff is cool. I found it. I've sold it. I would buy it at the thrift store. I would not purchase it retail myself. Cezanne, which is definitely a fast fashion brand, has also gotten some like Ecotex certification on some of their fabrics. So some of their linen stuff is really nice. A lot of their wool is really nice. They're kind of moving away from using polyamide, which I think is great, even though polyamide generally tends to be kind of knit into fabrics to kind of keep the shape when you're laundering things. But keep an eye out for that. If you look at the fabrics on Cezanne, their silk is beautiful. Yes. I don't think their silk is sustainable, but a lot of their kind of knits are.
That one was surprising to me. I didn't realize they were on that list.
Agree. I think that they're starting to make moves in the right direction as they start to get more popular. And I think the prices have gone up a little bit, but not significantly. They're still kind of floating around the same, like, 120 to 160 for like a blouse. But if it's something that you're going to wear on repeat, like I have a couple of their Chloe blouses, which are like the lace silk ones, and they're beautiful for work. They're super comfortable. It's like stretch silk. So like, you know, your girl's back is not like tight in there. They're so nice. Another brand that I found is called For Days.
Oh, okay.
So just the word four and then the word days, not the number. But I actually thrifted one of their t-shirts. It's like a beautiful, stiff, heavy cotton. Ooh. It's not that expensive. They're kind of in like $30 to $40 price range, but it is a sustainable company. Another brand that I love is La Causa. I tend to find the linen trousers a lot. Yeah. I found like jumpsuits, overalls, things like that. They sell relatively quickly and for a decent amount of money. I usually sell between 75 and like 100, which is exactly the price point that I really want to be selling stuff in, especially because the thrift store doesn't know about it. And the labels are, they're tiny and they're fabric. And a lot of times they get like stuffed up folded in a corner and nobody knows. And there it is. It's mine for $3.99.
Yep.
Another brand called Outer Known. I found Outer Known a couple times. I've really only found men's pieces. I found like a a fleece outer coat, which I think I sold for, I don't remember, I would have to go back and look, but I found like an overshirt and it was kind of like one of those like crinkly cotton ones. And I kept it because I thought it was just going to be great to wear to the beach this summer, like over a bikini or something.
Yeah.
It's just like really light, really nice fabric.
It's an outdoorsy brand, right?
Yeah, I'd say outer known. It's definitely more towards like the, I think, what do they call it? Salted granola.
Oh yeah.
Style. You know, like the not quite gore core, but like, yeah, you know, one of those girlies. Another brand that I found is called Grammar. Okay. NYC is on the tag. I don't have a ton of information, but it is really sustainable as far as the fabrics that they use. The two pieces that I found are white shirts. One is sleeveless, one is long sleeve. Again, still listed in my closet, but are both things that I'm like, I'm going to pull these out and just keep because they're beautiful. They're really made nicely. Bagu, also sustainable. Bagu is really, really popular. I don't know if you guys pay attention to any of like TikTok or anything like that, but they do these drops on these crescent bags. I actually bought one myself. They're like not that expensive. They were like $40, but they do limited runs. So once they sell out of a color, it's gone forever. If you find something in like the color avocado, buy it, right? So these are all sustainable fabrics. They're reusable bags. They have purses. They have like shopping bags that you would take to your grocery store. They have coolers and lunch bags. Those are really cool. Another one in a more reasonable price point, I think, is Quince, or is it Quince? It's Quince, right?
I think so, yeah.
I've thrifted some of their silk shirts, some of their linen shirts. I actually bought a set of the bamboo viscose sheets that they make, and they're beautiful. They're like silky. They're really nice. And that's
lucky
kind of one
you
of those,
finding them in the thrift. I'm on the hunt for them.
It's one of those like kind of DTC, direct to consumer.
Yeah.
We're going to save you some money. You can buy linen sheets here kind of thing, but they do focus on sustainable and natural fabrics, which I think is really cool.
There's that other brand too, Parachute.
I love vanilla. The way that I really spent. So I have a king bed. I bought linen sheets and I bought 6 pillowcases because I'm a pillow queen. And I bought it on Memorial Day weekend, like 2 years ago, because I was like, I'm going to save 20%. And it was still over $400.
Yeah. I was going to say, they're so expensive.
Gorgeous, though. Like, they're so nice. Yeah. And like, I break them out. They're so good. They're so good. I bought like the rusty kind of orange color.
Yes, the clay
pink as my pillowcases. Phenomenal.
I don't know if they're sustainable, but they sure seem like they are.
Feels like it for the price point. All right. 3 other things I'm going to mention. Tentree. I feel like I've seen this a couple times in like leggings, loungewear. I don't think I picked it up. I didn't think the resale looked good, but it is a sustainable brand.
Yeah.
Aloha's, mostly shoes. They do like great dupes of designer stuff. This was listed on like a sustainable brand website. So I have to do more research on that. Shayna Moat is another one I think that's kind of popular these days. And then Hackwith, which has been around for a while. I feel like maybe did they cease to exist or do they still exist? I don't know
if they still exist, but
Hackwith Design House. Let's see. Are they still made? Yeah, they're still made.
Okay.
There was something similar to this. I think it was it was Elizabeth Suzanne that's similar to Hackwith that they shut down, I think, post-pandemic. But
I think that's something worth mentioning too, is with these sustainable brands, a lot of them come and go because it is so expensive to maintain the sustainable production, pay everyone fairly. You know, there's a lot that goes into it to keep the construction of the pieces that they have. That's why they're so expensive. And a lot of these brands don't typically go mainstream. And then once they do, they tend to change. So it's not uncommon to see them rebrand or change their name or just go out completely, which is sad.
Especially some of the really good ones.
Yeah. I just want to mention one more before we close out, but I'd heard of them, but I've never found them. Nudie Jeans. It's Nudie. They retail for like $200. But they're one of the, I guess you could say, up and coming denim, sustainable luxury jean is what I'm going to call it, because a $200 pair of jeans is luxury.
Yeah, that's expensive. I mean, a $200 pair of jeans is expensive, but honestly, when you think about it,
they last forever.
Yeah, but everything is expensive, right? So yeah. Levi's are like, I was just in Europe and I went to a Levi's store there and I was like trying on more ribcage jeans. Like I need more than five colors or five washes of them. And I was like, you know what, let me just try them on. And they were like 128 euros, which at the time that I was there was $1.11, you know, per. So it was like an extra $30 almost for that, which is pretty expensive. I feel like in the US they're like $98, but maybe that's because they're US made. But jeans are expensive. And like we were just saying, like you go to Madewell, it's like $138 to $158, depending on what the jeans are. And if you think about $200, when I was younger, I would have been like, absolutely not. I'm buying all my stuff at Target. But if you are the same size and you are pretty regular and pretty consistent in what you wear and like the size that you buy, sometimes it can be worth it. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's a lot of my favorite jeans, like I said, are thrifted, but that doesn't mean that I haven't splurged on the occasional pair of like Rudy Jude jeans, which I love, but don't fit my body. So there's that.
I mean, we're not afraid to admit that as much as we love sustainable brands, as much as we love to be sustainable, I mean, we resell. So we do love to be sustainable. We do like to also indulge in buying things retail. And I know that Jill and I have the luxury of doing that because we have a full-time job outside of reselling. So like, you know, it's a little easier for us, I guess, when it comes to that kind of stuff. We're also very smart about it because, in case you didn't notice the trend, we used credits to buy most of the items that we really wanted. I mean, we're still smart with it and we do try to thrift everything, but there's just something about buying an item retail and like being kind of proud to be able to go on that website that you never thought you'd be able to go on and buy something. I don't know. Maybe it's just because of where we live in America and it's just, that's just the culture that we've always grown up in. But like, I don't know. It makes me feel like I'm in a place in my life where I can do that for myself sometimes if I want to.
Well, to be fair, I don't think that I would be afforded that ability if I didn't resell.
100%. You know,
I'm a single person with an income and a part-time income. And I've gotten used to that over the last 5 years. And I think that like, you know, while I think it's great that what I do helps to pull stuff out of a thrift store and save it from a landfill and put it in someone else's hands. And then I'm also afforded the ability to make a profit on that based on my time and expertise and experience on that kind of stuff. I also then am able to utilize some of those funds to throw back into the economy when I'm trying to buy very specifically more sustainable stuff. So if I am buying something retail, it's either because it's like a product that I use every day, like, you know, like shampoo, conditioner, but mostly if I'm buying clothes or shoes, it's either I'm buying it secondhand on the RealReal. It's like one of my favorite things to do.
Yep.
Just kind of dig through stuff that people wore or didn't wear and then dropped off at the RealReal for them to resell for them. Or I'm buying from sustainable brands and I'm buying less stuff, less often, but it feels like a better purchase. Like it feels like that sweater coat that I bought. I think that's like the last thing that I bought that was like really kind of expensive, but it's also one of those things where it's like, I felt good about making that purchase.
Yeah.
Like I didn't feel like I was like, oh, I'm being gross and just going to the mall and dropping $200 at Zara on stuff that I'm going to get rid of in 3 months. It feels like I'll probably have that coat for a long time.
Yeah, and I think that's really what the sustainability movement is about, besides being eco-friendly with the fibers that you use and the production, the chemicals and all that. It's really about buying pieces that are going to last you a long time and that make you feel good. And that, I mean, you could theoretically pass down if you really want to, because that's how they're built. They're built to last years and years and years, which will then in turn hopefully stop consumers from wanting to constantly purchase new pieces all the time.
I don't know about you, but like, and maybe anybody who's listening or even you, Daniela, like being a reseller, when I'm buying things for myself, I'm buying something in mind that either I'm going to keep this forever or I'm going to resell it when I'm done with it. And I buy things with that in mind, right? Like, is this going to keep its value? Yes. Am I going to drop $400 on this sweater, wear it for two seasons, and then be able to resell it for basically what I paid for it, right, or at least half? If the answer is yes, I'm probably going to go for it. That's definitely usually part of my sustainability process in my own head. Like, is this sustainable in general? And then also in my own wardrobe, and then also cyclical, like something I can kind of recycle out and then move and rotate out when I'm ready for something new.
Yeah. Well, that's our spiel.
That's the story. Morning glory. If you're listening to this in the morning, it's 10:30 at night.
Yeah, it is. It is 10:30 at night.
We'll go to bed at 9.
Yeah. But we like to do things, you know, this way, I guess. We like to live on the edge.
Why not?
Not really. Not really.
I too like to live dangerously.
Yeah. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. This was fun. I love doing this type of stuff too. And it's always nice to sit down with a friend to talk about it as well. So thank you, Jill, for joining me on this.
For having me.
Yeah, of course. Anytime. If you guys are part of the Patreon group, Jill and I are going to do a little segment, probably not tonight, on just our process and sourcing and thrifting and just kind of talking through our development as resellers. So if you're a Patreon member, stay tuned. You're going to be getting that as a bonus episode. And for everyone else, we will be back next week. Bye, everyone. Okay.